Good afternoon. This is Ed Walsh with the Mahomet Citizen for the week of May 28th, 2018. We will begin today's reading on the front page with this article. It's under the banner of Mahomet Seymour Board of Education. The headline reads, Longtime Member Steps Down. 11-year veteran is making a move to Utah. Cheryl Melke, former Vice President of the Mahomet Seymour Board of Education, submitted her resignation letter on Tuesday after serving the district for 11 years. Her resignation took effect May 22nd. The decision began when Melke's husband accepted a position at the University of Utah's School of Computing. We're heading out there to start our emptiness life, Melke said. The U-Haul heads west on May 23rd. Before she makes the transition, Melke reflected on her time and service to the board. Her tenure began with a single idea. I wanted to be a voice for the voiceless, she said. Melke's favorite memories include the many evenings working alongside six other board members, being on the team of an incredible group of leaders and honestly of servants. I really do see the role as being servant leadership, she said. The former vice president also saw a great deal of transition during her time with the district. She saw three board presidents and three superintendents come and go. In the midst of change, Melke said, the board never lost sight of its goal. It's the board for the students, for their safety, for their education, for the betterment of who they are, intellectually and character-wise, she said. The transitions are always something that we have to walk through. For Melke, the difficult part is of being a board member were the times when members were unable to paint the full picture of a confidential matter to the public. One of the hardest things is not being able to speak out when there's confidentiality issues or mainly school or state laws, and that can lead to frustration on both sides, she said. Confidential matters aside, it's not as hard as people think it is, she said. The people of Mahomet are really good people, and the majority are team players, and they work for problem-solving, Melke said. One of her favorite moments of witnessing the community rally together was when teachers donated their vacation and sick time to help teacher Kathy Starbird, who Melke recalled was experiencing a health crisis at the time. As a board, we were able to support that, she said. For me, that mattered just because our teachers matter and life can be messy. Other career highlights include tearing down Middletown, building Middletown Prairie, and selling Sangamon Elementary. Being on the facilities committee, I'm very proud of building the pre-K and the grades 1 and 2, she said. I'm really proud that there was a future plan. That's really important. Melke is also proud of the board for its ability to weather the storm and be a guiding light for those in the community during tougher times, such as the teacher strike, the death of students, or when things have simply not gone well. The majority of the people hold fast to the people in charge, Melke said. They not only weather the storm, but step in to help and support. This community has high standards and asks hard questions to work as a team to keep our home and our community strong. Melke considers the board and the community's relationship as a two-way street, with both having the goal to better the lives and education of students. The strength of our community is that we value and prioritize our students and that we come together as a community. Generous business leaders, hardworking volunteer community members, and support what's going on in the walls of the schools, she said. Our strength is us working together and working on our problems together with the basis that we all have goodwill toward our leaders. The former vice president handed out her last set of diplomas to the class of 2018 at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts on Friday. Prior to bidding her own farewell, Melke left one last bit of advice for the individual who fills her vacancy. Listen well, she said. If one person says something to you, it's significant. Probably the most valuable thing I've done while being on the board is when I do have conversations with the people of Mahomet. I make sure that I take their words to the appropriate person, which is usually the superintendent or the board president. Board members presented Melky with a plaque to thank her for her commitment to the board. Melky will remain in Mahomet for a few short weeks before making the official move to Utah. As for her future plans, those are still to be determined. I can't help but say I poked my nose around and tried to find out about school districts there, she joked. More realistically, I'm thinking about being a part of championing kids to learn how to snow ski. Melky expressed her interest in becoming an instructor to help individuals with disabilities learn how to ski. That's the one thing that's been exciting for me with the possibility of going out west, she said. I am a passionate downhill and water skier. Before leaving Mahomet, Melky hopes her colleagues and community know how privileged she felt serving alongside them. I am undone with how impressed and how honored I am to have served on the board, she said. I'm excited for the future administration. I really feel like we do raise up rock stars from within, Melky added. Our world needs what they have at that school. Next, from the front page, we have this article. It's under the banner of Mahomet's Izzy Gonzalez. And the headline reads, Amazing Opportunity. Girl with Disabilities Build Leadership Skills Through Volunteering. Izzy Gonzalez stood tall and fearless as she looked into the crowd and accepted her Illinois Miss Amazing Junior Teen Award at the Yellow Box, a community church in Naperville, in April. I like being on stage, she said. The annual event champions nearly 50 girls who have developmental and physical or physical disabilities and crowns each of them as princesses. Six of the girls who are ages 5 or older are crowned as year-long representatives for the organizations and are for the organization, and Izzy was one of them. It honestly is fun, she said. Illinois' Miss Amazing director, Jess Hardish, said the event helps the girls build leadership and volunteerism skills and offers an opportunity for them to step out into the community. The girls aren't judged against each other, Harnish said. They, the judges, look for personal growth. We have an emphasis on girls who volunteer in the community and have confidence. The event includes a talent show on Friday evening, followed by interviews on Saturday. The highlight of Saturday evening is the stage event, where the girls walk out in dresses and makeup. Each girl is paired with a buddy who helps her navigate her way throughout the weekend. Filled with fun and lightheartedness, the event provides Izzy an outlet from the daily physical barriers she faces. The 14-year-old has Vader syndrome, which her father, David Gonzalez, described as various parts of her body that did not develop when she was in the womb. Her main thing right now is scoliosis, he said. She has scoliosis, which is kind of pushing on her trachea, so her trachea is starting to close down a little. My lung is being crushed by my ribs, Izzy added. The soon-to-be Mahomet Seymour freshman was also diagnosed with epilepsy 3 years ago and has lost her hearing in her right ear. So because she doesn't have the nerves going up her spinal cord, it's also affected different areas, David said. She doesn't have bladder control because she doesn't have the nerves. But Izzy doesn't let her physical disabilities stop her from accomplishing her goals. For the last 2 years, she's also performed in the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company's Penguin Project, which is a theater program for youths aged 12 to 21 who have developmental or physical disabilities. The whole idea is to get everybody on stage regardless of whatever skill level they have, David said. Each actor is paired with a mentor who shadows them in their role, guiding them as needed. The mentors are understudies, said Kelly Nolan, executive director of CUTC. They learn all of the blocking and parts, and they're only there if their artist needs help or a prompt. The kids who have disabilities are the stars. The experience helps Izzy break barriers and step on stage. David credited the experience as a confidence builder for his daughter. Being a special needs kid, there's a lot of times that she's not able to go to school on a regular basis, he said. What happens is she doesn't have as many friends or as much connection to the social world as other kids have. But with Miss Amazing and the Penguin Project, she's able to have that on a regular basis. 27 artists were paired with 32 mentors during last year's performance of Mulan Jr. Izzy enjoyed her role as Quain Poe, a soldier in the musical, and was the genie in the performance of Aladdin Jr. This year, she's excited for the September 21st to the 23rd performances of High School Musical Junior. Acting in the productions provides Izzy unmatched social opportunities with her peers. Friends-wise, I just make a lot of friends my age, she said. It's like, whoa, I'm capable of making friends. Nolan recalled the bond Izzy made with one of her mentors, Elena Loinstein. When Izzy had to be in the hospital and was unable to attend a rehearsal, Loinstein and Izzy FaceTimed one another as a way to keep connected. Elena had her iPad and they were FaceTiming during the rehearsal, and Izzy was singing as Elena was doing the blocking, Nolan said. Through these experiences, Izzy has discovered her passion and gained other opportunities, such as being cast as a lead in a web series taking place in June through the University of Illinois' Physics Department. It's like Stranger Things mixed with The Goonies, she said. It's teaching science to kids in schools around the area. I hope I do a good job. After her summer acting opportunities, Izzy will travel to Rosemont from August 3rd to the 6th to represent Illinois Miss Amazing in its national event, where girls from all over the country gather to represent their states. She's kind of an ambassador right now, so she's going around to these different places and talking to people and introducing what Miss Amazing is all about, David said. Izzy and her family are tasked with raising $2,500 for evening attire, lodging, meals, and travel expenses for the show. The family will host its next fundraising event at Red Robin in Champaign on June 6th from 5 to 9 p.m. David said what is unique about the fundraising is after the funds are raised, any remaining funds go back into Miss Amazing to help next year's representatives with costs to attend nationals. Experiences such as Illinois Miss Amazing and the Penguin Project have inspired Izzy to continue her onstage performances. From the first play, I thought this was what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, she said. I cry at the end of every show. Wise beyond her years, the young performer sees the importance of such opportunities and values them for both she and her friends alike. Because we're actually reserved individuals, it helps bring us out of our shells, and it's just, well, it's amazing, Izzy said. In Aladdin, these were some of the shyest individuals, but at the end, when Tech Week came, people just came out of their shell, and we were just belting it out, honestly, she said. It helps bring us out of our shells, it really does. Those interested in learning more about Izzy's cause may visit donate.missamazing.org/fundraiser/1397865. Finally, from our front page, we have this article. It's headlined, it's under the banner Wildflowers, and the headline reads, Artist is Pursuing Her Passion. Woman Gives Back by Helping Families with Ill Children. Local artist Megan Peters turned her hobby into a business 3 years ago with the creation of Wildflowers. The stay-at-home mom of two said she launched her vision after her daughter Evelyn began kindergarten. I was able to push into my art a little more full-time and get a little more serious about it, Peters said. It all started 10 years ago when Peters decided to purchase her first set of brushes and acrylic paints when her son Max was one. I just thought, I want to do this, she said. So I went out to Hobby Lobby, I bought some brushes, I bought some canvases, I bought some paint, and I just started. She began by painting tiger lilies, barns, and churches, which eventually led to Peters testing her feelers with her friends and family to see if her art had what it took to make a profit. I'd have friends or family members who would say, "This is really good, Meg, I would pay for this," she said. Turning the back of her garage into a studio and never looking back, Peters paints an array of colorful, whimsical, and mixed media pieces and eventually decided to become a vendor at area markets. "I do a lot of flowers and landscapes," she said. "I love doing vintage campers and vintage Volkswagen buses. I've done a little bit of everything." Her favorite piece includes a life-size guitar where Peters laid her husband's guitar on top of newspaper, traced the shape of the guitar, and cut it out. "It was one of those that came together very effortlessly," she said. "When I was done, I was like, wow, that's really good. I wonder if I could replicate that. How did I do that?" The piece sold immediately. Peters launched a Facebook page where she provides artwork ranging from 4x4 inches to 30 by 30 inches, with prices varying from $30 to $350. "For original artwork, this is actually pretty affordable," she said. The self-taught artist said she strays from portraits and typically sticks with landscape or still life works, and will even venture out to animals every now and then. "It's always good to push myself and challenge myself," she said. Peters, every now and again, will host a sale where all of the proceeds will go toward helping her prepare approximately 12 tote bags to deliver to the St. Louis Children's Hospital's Cardiac Intensive Care Unit. Peters' daughter, Evelyn, was born with a congenital heart defect and had to have open-heart surgery when she was only 9 days old. "I think that journey with her really brought out that passion in me to really pursue my art," she said. Peters packs the Evelyn Ray Hope totes, which are named after her daughter, with nearly $50 worth of goodies containing everything from a journal, devotional, and even a $20 Jimmy John's gift card. "They go to the parents," she said. "I just wanted to be able to bring some encouragement and hope and something that was happy to the mom and dad while they're in the hospital in that environment." Peters provides the totes once or twice a year as a way to pay it forward. Now in first grade, Evelyn enjoys drawing and making books. At one of Peters' recent art showings, Evelyn created watercolor greeting cards as part of her offerings. "I put like $3 a piece for them, and she was like, 'Did I sell any cards, Mama?'" Peters said. "I think when she gets older, she may even want to contribute more, which would be fun because then we could do it together." Hoping to bring her paintings to life, Peter's dream is to own a Volkswagen bus to provide traveling art parties. "I would travel maybe within a 2-hour radius of where I'm located and do art parties for birthday parties, bachelorette parties, and retirement parties," she said. The local artist welcomes individuals to visit her Wildflower Facebook page and send her a direct message if they are interested in one of her featured pieces or custom works. "I really put my heart and soul into them," she said. "It's a very personal thing. Each piece I feel is special and one of a kind. If I don't like it, then I will start over. I feel like I get better with each one." Turning now to page A2, under the banner of Mahomet Seymour Board of Education, we have this article headlined, "Personnel Changes Okayed." The Mahomet Seymour Board of Education approved personnel changes during Tuesday's regular board meeting. Changes included the hiring of Doug Fisher as the assistant principal and athletic director for the junior high. Fisher will earn $73,000 during the 2018-19 school year. He served as the athletic director at West Prairie Middle School for the last 8 years. Prior to his serving as athletic director, Fisher taught at West Prairie's middle school and high school beginning in 2005. "I just want to thank Mr. Mills, Dr. Lindsay Hall, and the Board of Education for this opportunity," Fisher said. "We are very excited to be a part of an outstanding school district and a thriving community." Third grade Lincoln Trail teacher Kimberly Johnson will make the switch from the classroom to becoming a kindergarten through fifth grade instructional coach. Johnson has served for 30 years in the MS district. Other new hires included Amanda Anderson, who will serve as a special education teacher at Lincoln Trail, Nakia Benson, who will be the district technology support specialist, Angela Hanks, who is the new sixth grade English language arts teacher at the junior high, Caitlin Meganson Dickens, who will serve as the 6th through 12th grade instructional coach, and Heather Price, who will be the new art teacher at Lincoln Trail, Jackson Ward, who will serve as an Algebra 2 math teacher at the high school. The new high school coaching changes included the hiring of Ryan Bosch, who will serve as the head varsity boys basketball coach to replace Chad Benedict, replacing former high school head coach Bonnie Moxley for the girls' cross-country and track and field teams are Kristen Allen and Darren T., respectively. Other business included board member Cheryl Melke submitting her resignation letter effective May 22nd. Melke will make the move to Utah after serving the board for 11 years. Cheryl, we're going to miss you greatly, President Max McComb said. You've become a wonderful representative for the community. You've become a wonderful representative for the board, and I count you as a terrific friend. Superintendent Lindsay Hall shared changes made to the instructional start and end times for the junior high and Middletown Prairie Elementary School. Both schools will now begin instruction at 8:15 a.m. and end at 3:12 p.m. The high school will remain at an 8:20 a.m. start and a 3:12 p.m. finish, and Lincoln Trail will continue with its 8:25 a.m. beginning and 3:05 p.m. ending. Board members also approved the 2018-19 Parent-Student Handbook. Each year, the policies are reviewed with a Parent-Teacher Advisory Committee consisting of 12 to 15 parents and teachers. The board approved four changes proposed by the committee. Finally, the district implemented language to screen all volunteers, whether for field trips or simply volunteering in the school. That information will roll out at the beginning of the school year, Hall added. The Board of Education will reconvene at 7 p.m. June 25th at Middletown Prairie Elementary School. And now, turning to page A5, under obituaries, we have the following death notices of local and area interest. Robert Cardiff, 75, of Mahomet, died at 10:28 p.m. Friday, May 11, 2018, at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana. Graveside services were at 1 p.m. Friday, May 25, 2018, at Locust Grove Cemetery, Philo. Memorial contributions may be made to Champaign County Humane Society, American Parkinson Disease Association, or the Alzheimer's Association. Mr. Robert Dean Coad of 381 Woodland Estates in Hemp Hill, Texas, 75948, died Friday, May 18, 2018, in a Lufkin hospital. He owned and operated Coad Electric in Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, for 35 years. Cremations were under the direction of Star Funeral Home in Hemp Hill, Texas. Roger Morphy, 70, of Seymour, died at 11 a.m. Monday, May 14, 2018, at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana. In accordance with his wishes, he was cremated, and there was a graveside funeral service at 11 a.m. Monday, May 21st, at Oak Grove Cemetery in Leroy. Longtime Mahomet resident Dorothea Mae Wise Russell was born in Adair County, Iowa, on March 3, 1920, the daughter of August F. and Matilda F. Wombold Weese. She died in Tomball, Texas, on Thursday, May 10, 2018. Her cremains will be buried beside those of her husband in East Lawn Cemetery, Urbana. Memorial contributions may be made to Cunningham Children's Home, 1301 North Cunningham Avenue, Urbana, Illinois, 61802. Darlene L. Stahl, 84, passed away at 2:36 a.m. Saturday, May 19, 2018, and was immediately reunited with her loving husband, Kenneth Stahl. There was a memorial service at 10:30 a.m. Friday, May 25th at Owens Funeral Home, 101 North Elm Street in Champaign. Burial was private. In lieu of other expressions of sympathy, the family would prefer memorial contributions in honor of Darlene and Ken. And now, returning to the news and views on page A2, under the banner of Mahomet Government, we have this article headline, Board Approves New Budget. Mahomet Village board members approved a 2018-19 fiscal year budget and formally adopted its appropriation ordinance on Tuesday. The budget took effect May 1st and will continue through April 30th, 2019. The approved $16,827,185 appropriation ordinance is a $1,466,272 increase from last year's budget. The village has taken steps to increase revenues over the past several years, but will continuously face some long-term financial challenges in health insurance costs, the continuance of funding for additional staffing, and pension plans, Village Administrator Patrick Brown said. The village estimates $10,152,288 in revenue, which is an increase of $375,716 from last year's total revenue. The largest sources include taxes, 60%, and water and wastewater utilities, 32%. Major expenditures for 2019 total $11,077,659, with the biggest being water and wastewater utilities, 31%, tax increment financing, that's TIF, 19%, and transportation, 17%. Property tax rates increased 0.0148, with the current tax rate being 0.8558. A homeowner who resides in the village and has a property value of $212,200 will pay approximately $5,207.66 in property taxes, with nearly $553 of that total going to the village. The first installment of property taxes is due by June 1st, which is tomorrow, with the second installation owed by September 1st. Actually, June 1st is tomorrow. Board members also approved the following: a development deal between MRDF LLC and the village for the Sangamon Field subdivision, purchase of a Ford Interceptor utility police squad car along with equipment upfitting it, not to exceed $47,000. Payment to Jackson Quality Construction in the amount of $100,093.50 for its renovation work to the Public Works and Parks Recreation Facility, 218 South Lake of the Woods Road. An $18,000 bid from Ileana Construction for the repaving of the Public Works, Parks, and Recreation Facilities front parking lot. Work will be completed no later than October. And a four-way stop at the intersection of Main and Elm Streets. Other business included the annual appointment of consultants, staff, and volunteers. Village President Sean Widener also reappointed the seven members of the Village's Plan and Zoning Commission, consisting of Steve Briney, Bob Buchanan, Mike Buzicki, Robert DeAtley, Jay Roloff, Earl Siemens, and Damian Spencer, Ed DeLaporte, Jared Ernst, Joshua Jessup, Alex Kocher, Eric Kraft, Lisa Pythman, and Tom Widener were appointed to the Board of Appeals. David Parsons is chairman, Teresa Berry is the secretary, and Lynn Ferdinand is the treasurer at the Mahomet Music Festival Committee. Bruce Colravy, Gary Kling, and Emily Kroner were appointed to the Shade Tree Commission. Each of their terms expire May 31, 2019. Reappointments for the Mahomet Board of Fire and Police Commissioners include Sylvia S. Morgan, term expires May 31, 2019, Paul Palumbo, 2020 expire, and Keith Willis, 2021. Jeremy Jessup and John Kohler were reappointed to the Mahomet Police Pension Fund Board. Widener also appointed Darwin Boston, Brian Egberg, Ryan Heiser, Kyle Jordan, Nathan Mills, and Bill Pythman to the Economic Development Commission. Lance Cooper, Matt Nelson, Jim Sims, Michael Strom, and Chuck Thompson were appointed to the Code Review and Appeals Board. Widener seeks one final board member to serve through May 31, 2021. And the Plan and Zoning Commission meeting for June 5th has been canceled. Village board members will reconvene June 12th at 6 p.m. for a study session. This has been the Mahomet Citizen for the week of May 28th, 2018. I look forward to reading with you again soon. For Illinois Radio Reader, I'm Ed Walsh.